This is Devin.
And this is Elmer.
Welcome to the Forum Journey Podcast.
We got a great topic today, Devin, called Vocation for Mission. What is that?
A series. I mean, we're gonna set the groundwork here, and then we're gonna have some interviews later on. We'll set the table. Those interviews later on, we'll
hopefully unpack some thought.
Will be the different courses.
Good. All right. Hey, there's a gal both you and I really have enjoyed. Her name is Amy Sherman. I think both of us were first introduced to her through
For the Life of the World,
and that video series, which we highly recommend.
Yep.
If you are into really cool,
but she has a book called Vocation for Mission,
yeah.
And she's traveled around and spoke at various universities and other conventions and conferences.
Yeah.
She has the people that she's talked to and interviewed in regards to Vocation for Mission and what it's all about. I'm just amazed at what people are doing.
Yeah, no, I agree. And so she has a scripture that oftentimes she shares from Proverbs 11:10, when the righteous prosper, the city rejoices.
Yeah. Yeah. And to think about, I mean, even the example she uses, with this scripture, when the righteous prosper, the city rejoices, and how when God's people are partnering with and in God's kingdom work.
Sure.
How they're transforming, and what kind of transformations taking place in people's neighborhoods and cities. I think it's amazing. And then, again, this is one that you have held on to and have had some time of prayer with some other city leaders, but it's Jeremiah 29, 1-4.
Right.
I mean, a lot of times we'll go Jeremiah 29 and immediately we'll think 11, because that's where we just want to hang on to. We want to hang our hat on 11.
Of course we do, but we don't read. Let's read verse 10. So just go ahead and read.
Well, I thought you were going to do 1-4.
I know, but I am going to read. In fact, I'm just going to read 1-4. But verse 10 is awesome because it says, when 70 years are completed, then,
then
I'll hear from you. And so you add 70 plus 60. It don't look too pretty. It doesn't look pretty at all. But I do want to share from Jeremiah 29, verse 4, and really verse 4 through 7. It just says, this is what the Almighty, the Lord of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon: build houses, settle down, plant gardens, and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for the sons, and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. And verse 7, also seek the peace, and the other word for that would be shalom, and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper.
I know. I mean, think about this. This is God's people being carried off into exile, living in Babylon in a foreign land.
These are the marching orders.
Yeah. This sounds like Proverbs 11:10.
Yeah, that does. I totally.
You seek the welfare of the city,
and Devin, I think
shalom of the city.
I think another word that you and I have used before is the word thrive. Hey, we're not looking for you to be in the fetal position for the next 70 years.
Yeah.
But we're looking for you to thrive in the midst of an exile.
Yeah. I mean, that is this video series that we were first introduced with Amy was for the Life of the World, Letter to the Exiles.
Right.
Do you feel like an exile in the world you're living in?
Yes.
Well, if you do, there are some marching orders for this. We are not to just be curled up and like try to survive or hope that we're going to make it, but that God actually calls us to thrive in the midst of this.
Right.
And there's ways we can do that by seeking the shalom.
And I think what Amy really points out is that the church has a responsibility for the common good.
Yeah.
And as Jeremiah points out, for the shalom of the city, the peace of the city.
Yeah. So if in connection with your community, if your faith community is walled up, mm-hmm. walled yep. in,
Right, walled in, yeah.
We have our own thing here, yeah. And the world or the city, the people outside of our gates, outside of our walls, they'll do what they want, and we're safe in here.
Right.
I don't see that in Jeremiah. I don't see that in the writer of Proverbs is saying. But really, can we tear down those walls that separate us, and can we have an influence and an impact in the city?
Devin, you know this about me. Every time I go into a business, I always am asking how is business, particularly now. I mean, we're recording this. We're now a year into a pandemic, and you know, it's been amazing. I've shared this before. You know, my paint guy up in Olympia, his business has been thriving because people are doing home projects.
Yeah,
but you talk to some restaurant people who I go to.
Yeah,
they're trying to figure out how to keep employees employed because those employees have families,
right?
And they're trying to pay rent and mortgage and light bills. And so, I mean, again, guys, I don't know necessarily if we think about the value that that Christ followers have in relationship to our work.
Yeah, our our influence.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And I love that. Again, I go back to Amy and all her examples of. I mean, can we share one about the loan, the money, lenders?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so this whole thing of like getting a payday loan and stuff. This was in this person's community. It was a serious problem. People were finding themselves in serious debt.
And he was a guy who had finance background.
Yeah. He was
right.
Yeah. And so they. I don't know if she said like the church asked him to teach a finance class, but what, which is so funny, like here, just come teach us at the church and we'll be good with that. But he saw something, he heard God say something, there's something bigger here.
Yes.
And they, together with the church.
And other Christ followers in town create this. Money lending.
Essentially operating. A bank.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They created a bank to help people learn to
stewardship.
manage their money well.
Right.
And stewardship and managing their money.
How
and
to purchase
budget,
groceries.
Budgeting.
How to budget.
Rather than going to these payday loans and have these incredible percentage that they would have to owe back.
We're talking loan shark.
Yeah, really. So having this, not just the church, but other, like you said, other like lending agencies and people, finance people who have the capital to put up to cover these short-term loans to help people. But also
which they paid back. They paid
back because they had ongoing financial help and assistance. Right. And people asking, you know, let's put a budget together. Let's help you work this.
That changes the shalom of the city.
It does. It changes shalom of the city. It changes. It not only changes the people who are going through that. They're in that moment, but it changes the future for them. Their kids' future. The next generation. It changes.
And one of the things I think what Devin and I would just love to press onto you right now. What's going on at your work?
What do you hear from God?
What are you hearing from God at your work right now? And let's be honest, I think we as church leaders, and I count Devin in there, we have probably done a fairly inadequate job of equipping
the church to connect what happens in the church to what's happening. Outside the walls of the church.
And again, guys, I think Devin and I will take responsibility for that. We're trying to change that.
Because what we desire is for people to see that God is at work in their work.
Right.
That God's there.
Right. And again, guys, I get it. Those guys who are working, you're trying to pay a mortgage, you're paying rent, you're paying electrical bills, you're trying to get the car payment. I know that. And I'm not suggesting for a moment that isn't important. I'm just would love to challenge you to think that maybe there's something more there.
Yeah. Okay. So this reminds me of having a conversation with a family of mine. And I was telling them about form and all this stuff. And I said, you know, the one thing, you know, as far as discipleship and form, the one thing I know that that people don't have space for is to add one more thing to their plate.
Totally.
And I said, you, as I was talking to him, I said, you don't have space or time to add one more thing.
Right.
But right. Imagine if in the things you are already doing,
sure.
What is it that you're hearing from God?
Right.
And what is, maybe is he inviting you to, I don't know, to press into in things you're already doing, people you're in relationship with, your coworkers, or, you know, your kids' friends' parents, the people that you're already engaged with.
Right.
Where do you hear God?
Where you hear him?
Inviting you in. And so it's like, yeah.
And then joining.
Yeah. It's yes. Like not adding one more thing, but a perspective shift of like, actually God's at work there.
Yeah.
And I'm there every day or yeah. Monday through Friday or whenever you happen to be working.
Right.
And maybe he's doing something.
You know, guys, we know this. American workers average about 45 hours a week at work. I love the statistic. That's 40% of our waking hours.
Nearly 50% of our waking hours spent in the workplace.
And guys, we as Christ followers, guys, we've got to figure out how to help each other know that there is mission going on there.
Yeah.
There is vocation for mission happening yeah. at work. And if we don't, we are missing a golden opportunity.
Yeah.
And again, guys, I'm not suggesting you get on your desk and so you're all going to hell in a handbasket and right. You know, come find Jesus. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about leaning into God. There's something happening here.
Well,
and it could be just a conversation with a neighbor,
yeah.
A coworker, and you see that coworker, and they're just not on today. Okay, they're just not on.
Yeah,
and it's you just going.
Well, noticing.
Hey, are you okay?
Yeah, asking the question.
And then follow. And when they say yeah, following up with, you don't look okay. No, don't say that.
Don't follow Umar's advice.
But follow up with another question. Maybe ask the same question, just ask it differently.
Yeah.
Because I think, guys, sometimes we miss people got life going on.
Yeah.
And I mean,
and when we can engage
right.
in what God's doing, his mission in the world, we engage in that. I love how Amy says, and this is where we got the pink spoon.
Oh, totally. Yes.
Right. The pink right. spoon that you would get at Baskin-Robbins, if you have a Baskin-Robbins near you or did at one point, you get the samples and you get the pink spoon. I want a sample of 31 flavors, you know, and I was poor, so that's all I got. And I left.
That's not true.
But you get the pink spoon, as Amy says, is the foretaste. It's just yes. a taster of that ice cream. The pink spoon of the kingdom. It's the foretaste of the what God is already doing, his kingdom right. coming to earth, his redemptive work happening in the world.
And it's happening.
Redeeming the world back to himself, right? And he's mm-hmm. about that work, and he's inviting us into that. And when we get to engage in that, like you said, having a conversation with a coworker and noticing, you know, something's going on or
yes.
Just asking a question that, you know, giving a card or something, that is a foretaste of the kingdom right. of God coming to earth in that moment. How beautiful that.
And I know, guys, and I just echo that because I know we don't recognize. Oftentimes, guys, we see work as just that. It's an ends to a means. It's getting another car. It's getting the nice house or a house. It could be, hey, I'm just trying to get my retirement. Whatever it is, it's focused on. Guys, I just would love for you to stop. I think something's happening there. And you're there all week long, 40 hours, 45 hours in some cases, sometimes longer. And life is happening.
Yeah.
And I just would challenge you to really take a look at what maybe God might be saying to you in regards to what should you be aware of that's going on there. And because you're there a lot. Let's just be honest. You're there a lot. One of the things that Amy Sherman said that was just guilt for me, she said, we oftentimes stand up in front of our congregations and we ask for canned goods. Now, here's the truth of it.
You were that one.
I do that pretty regularly every November. I do ask for canned goods. I do ask for money as well as we give away totes to our community, which has great value. I mean, we put together just normal, just regular everyday stuff, toilet paper, paper towels, just canned goods, some staples so that to help families. And we're passing out 100-150 of these each year. But I do want you to know, I get what Amy's saying. is that we're asking people for their canned goods when they have so much more to offer because of their expertise, like the story of the finance guy. I've often reflected in the last several years as Devin and I have dove into this more, when I do a mission trip, guys, because mission's my baby, I love sending teams. I'm very intentional, guys. I'm looking for doctors. I'm looking for construction workers. I'm going to target someone to lead my children's ministry piece. I'm going after Pastor Tony, who's one of our Hispanic pastors here in town, and I've had a great relationship with them for probably 20 plus years, if not longer. Or I'm grabbing someone else who speaks fluent Spanish, because I don't.
Yeah, but Tony has more energy than 100 people.
He does, and he's amazing. he can work a room.
He totally can.
He does. But again, guys, I'm very intentional there, because I'm looking for giftings that I don't have. I'll organize, and you know, here I was reflecting the other day. Mission trips, guys, for me is about one thing. Returning home safely. I'm just gonna be honest with you. That's my goal. That is my entire goal, is returning safely. Now I'll bring a lot of people to get a lot of stuff done. And again, my hope is and prayer is that God is at work, and we're figuring out as we're in the midst of on this trip and journey that we're joining him where he's at. But again, guys, I think we've missed some golden opportunities, because we really haven't leaned into individuals' vocation and the opportunities that they have at their vocation.
Yeah, and that God's at work in their vocation.
Hey, Devin, let's talk a little bit about J.D. Larson. We don't know him personally, but we have a good friend of ours who does, Stephanie O'Brien. And he wrote some thoughts about not necessarily, I guess, vocation for mission, but...
Here's the question he asks one of the questions is, are you looking for what God is doing in your workplace?
That's a great question.
You know, we talk about this when we talk about God at work, we don't just work a job to pay the bills, or work a job in relation to the church to then give a tithe to the church and check the box and mark it as done. But actually, God's at work in our workplace.
Hey, I love this statistic that he gives, Devin. We spend over, everybody just sit down here for a second, 2,000 hours a year at work. I think it's 2040. I think it's 2040 is 50 hours multiplied by 40. I believe that's what it comes out. I think it's close to there. Oh, no, 52. Sorry, that's 52 hours.
Right.
Now, 52 weeks, I apologize. But here's perspective. We don't even spend 150 hours a year in worship or church gatherings. Just let that stop right there.
Yeah.
Over 2,000 hours at work
a year,
and you're at church about 150.
Yeah, not even 150
just,
hours.
Just stop a second and just reflect on it. 2,000. Let me ask you this. And if I was Nahum, what would you rather have? $2,000 or 150? Which one would be more valuable?
Or how much time am I spending in those places, right? I'm spending a significant amount of time, at work.
Right. And so if you're there, let's find out what God's doing.
Good chance that God might be there as well.
He is there.
And
he is
doing something. And I even think about my time out coaching, right? And knowing that, you know, God's at work even out there in the midst of coaching. There are conversations that happen.
Right.
There are moments that come and I recognize, well, I think God's at work here.
Right.
He's doing something. And he's letting me know and inviting me into this.
Because it's a conversation that would not have happened, Devin, unless you were there.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, another thing that JD says that is really, he says, the question is, God working in our workplace, it's an important one. For most of us, work defines the location and the activity of most of our waking hours. And then he goes on to say, often getting our identity out of what we do and not who we are in Christ.
Right. Imagine if we shifted the who we are in Christ, our identity,
right,
and then... Yeah, I'm going into this work, working this job. Maybe it is a vocation. Maybe it is a career. Maybe it is just a job for now.
Right. One of the things that Devin, you and I know this now, and because we've really kind of leaned into it, when God created us, He created us to work.
Yeah, work is good.
Yeah, we were supposed to be working the land. Now things went sideways. I mean, just a couple things.
Well, he didn't take away working though. He just made it a little harder.
He did make it harder, didn't he? There's toil, I think, is the word that we use. But it's one of those things, guys. We were created to work, and I think as we believe and we know that we're created to work, what we need to recognize is that God is at work in our workplaces.
Yeah, but I don't get my identity from my work, because I know that my identity's, I know it and I'm practicing it, living it out. My identity is firmly founded in Christ.
Totally.
And that in the work that
I am.
Yeah. And then the work that I do, my identity is not there in what I produce, but I do recognize that God is at work there. And so I want to be looking for those opportunities. Yeah. I mean, I often get asked, what do you do? You know, if I'm out coaching, right. They're like, what do you do? Because they just think that I'm out there coaching.
Devin, I didn't tell you this. I'm up in Seattle this weekend, and we're at a birthday party up there, and I have this guy, he's talking to me, and he's like, so what do you do? And I'm like,
what'd you go with? Did you just make stuff up? No, I'm a hairstylist.
Sometimes I do, but I just said, I'm actually a pastor. Don't hold it against me. And then he said to me, well, I really don't know what a pastor, do you get paid?
Right.
I said, well, yeah, actually I do. Oh, well, how does that happen? He had no idea. It was awesome. And the other thing he said was, when I told him I was from Centralia, he goes, really? You're from that hole in the wall? It was awesome, because he had migrated here from Russia and was here for a short time. And so he's now moved up to Seattle where there's a lot more.
Right. Well, it's different to tell someone in the West Coast that you're a pastor versus, like, if you're in the Midwest, I'm a pastor. Like, oh, here, I've got a seat for you.
Right.
Head of the table, sir.
Here, but let me tell you right now, Devin, this is the plan. When you and I retire, we go to America Samoa.
According to
Deb.
Yeah, Kay, they do take care of their pastors.
She says that I'll be, now Tam, you won't be able to wear a swimsuit, but we will be taken care of.
Don't you think you'd struggle with that?
She would not be happy about that, correct?
Don't have the swimsuit. Don't you think you'd struggle with that?
You know, there's a part of me that sure sounds good, Devin.
I don't know, man.
I'm messing with you. Of course I would hate that.
My identity's not in what I do.
I know.
So when people ask me, what do you do? There was a player this last season who was like, what do you do? And I was like, I get to hang out with cool people. And you're one of them. I get to hang out. She just would not take that as an answer. She's like, how do you make money? I'm like, well, I said, I get to hang out with cool people.
People pay me to hang out with you.
Like, it's pretty totally. Awesome.
Well, here's three things. We're going to close on this thought that JD recommends that you lean into. That if you are really wanting to kind of, what does it look like to live out Christ in your workplace? He has three things. Number one, he says, ask God to show you where God is at work at your workplace. Yep. That's the first thing he's asking. Second thing is, set an alarm every morning to remind yourself to ask God to show you what he's doing.
Yeah.
And it's that intentionality.
It is.
And then finally, he says, set an alarm for on the commute home to remind you to look back at your work day and see if you can identify what God was up to during your work hours. And he just says, hey, try this for a week. Try it for a week and see if you see God at work.
Can you hear the learning circle in that, Kairos?
Totally.
God, what are you saying, and what do you want me to do about it?
What do you want me to do about it? Definitely. Well, Devin, we are about two things.
Reproducible discipleship.
And kingdom stories. This podcast is produced by Ian Goodell. And if you would like to contact us, visit formjourney.com as well as Facebook and Instagram. We would love to hear your kingdom stories. And thanks for listening. God bless.